What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
When I went to see Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight for years and years.
That was a cult classic.
That was a great one. And I dressed for that. Did you ever dress up and put makeup on and stuff like that to go to the theater at midnight?
No, I did not do that.
Baby boomers will jump right out of the closet on this one and tell you they did. And I was...
I did not.
I don't want to say who I was in there, but I'll just say I wore black hose.
Black hose? Like to the pantyhose that came in like one of those eggs?
Yeah.
Yes. B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
get them up, get them out, wake them up. It is Monday. B&E on the Horn and the Traveling Road Show on this Monday to get your work week underway. Live at the beautiful Cimarron Hills Golf Club in Georgetown, Texas for the Help Our Wounded Golf event. Our second year out here. Talked with Rosie Babin last week and we'll talk with her again this morning. Such a wonderful, wonderful cause that we're thrilled to be a part of once again. They had a great concert and event last night with Radney Foster, and raised a lot of money for this wonderful local cause, helping our wounded warriors battle back and get necessities of life taken care of. It's such a great charity, and we're thrilled to be here again, Mr. Godbolt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be a beautiful start to the morning, at least, and we got some overcast skies. But it's almost going to be 90 degrees, 88 degrees. Obviously, Ooh. It's going to be humid again today, and some chances. We might as well get used to that the rest of the week where, you know, there will be an occasion, thunderstorm, and then it'll disappear, and all of a sudden the sun will be out, and it'll be brutal right after that. Feels a little bit like Florida.
Yeah, it feels like, or it looks like the next couple, today and tomorrow, kind of the same, but then Wednesday, Thursday into Friday.
Sunny.
Starting to clear up and bright sunshine as we roll into the summertime in Austin, Texas. And a lot to do, obviously a busy, busy morning. Glad we've got 4 hours because we've got a lot to talk about. NBA Finals Game 2 last night, much like Game 1. Also, the thrilling game for the Longhorns. If you didn't stay up late, I watched it to the final pitch before I turned it off, Buck, from Long Beach, California last night. BK will have the headlines coming up, but the Longhorns fall, which means they're going to play an even later game tonight. 4-3 the final. A lot of subplots in that game, which we'll talk about throughout the morning. Also, the Astros will finish off a sweep of the Rangers in Major League Baseball. Plenty to dive onto there. A little NFL news here in the offseason, so a lot to do at 447-3776. Also on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. We're live at Georgetown, Cimarron Hills Golf Club. Excited about the morning and a lot to do. Let's get you caught up, though. If you didn't stay up late and see the end or listen to the end of the Longhorn game from the West Coast, let's get you caught up with the update with Brad Kellner.
Thank you. E-Headline from the Ticket City Update Desk. We will start out in Long Beach, California, where the Texas Longhorn baseball team entered last night's game one win away from potentially hosting a Super Regional next weekend. The Horns, with the benefit of winning their first two games of the Long Beach Regional on Friday and Saturday, they needed just one win against Long Beach State, while the Dirtbags, yes, the Dirtbags, had to beat Texas last night to force a potential winner-take-all Game 7 tonight. And Texas did get the better of LBSU in a thrilling 12-inning affair on Saturday night, but last night the Dirtbags got the victory over Texas 4-3. They forced that winner-take-all game tonight. The Beach, as they call them, benefited from a couple of controversial calls throughout the game. And thankfully for Texas fans, it will not be umpire Jerry Costello calling the balls and strikes in tonight's finale. The first two matchups, though, between the Longhorns and Dirtbags have been decided by a total of one run in 21 innings. Head coach David Pierce is expecting another close game in tonight's finale.
Most likely. I mean, that's how it's gone for the first two ball games against them. Very quality team. You're going to have to earn it to beat them.
So once again, it is simple as win or go home. Texas Long Beach State winner to the Super Regionals to take on Cal State Fullerton. First pitch will be at 10 p.m. Yes, 10 p.m. tonight, but we will have it right here on the Horn. A little further north, but sticking in the state of California, Game 2 of the NBA Finals went to the home team, the Golden State Warriors, 132-113 at Oracle Arena. After outscoring the Cavs by 13 in the third quarter of Game 1, it was the Dubs once again taking control early in the second half. A three-point game at halftime turned to 14 after three. The Cavs could never rally. And once again, another dominant performance from Lifetime Longhorn Kevin Durant. 33 points, 13 boards, 6 assists, 5 blocks, and 3 steals. Here's KD, his thoughts on game 2.
You know, and I think that's one thing we got to cover. I mean, we can't give up 23 points off our turnovers. You know, that's especially a championship team like that. They're going to thrive off of it. So, you know, they were going downhill, getting into the paint. But I just think we just stay poised and, you know, try to play better one-on-one defense and, you know, make them shoot over a contest. And they're going to make some. But if we just try to make it tough on them, it'll be in our favor.
Despite the two dominant wins, KD still sees room for improvement. How about Steph Curry? His first career playoff triple-double, 32, 10, and 11 for him. LeBron James, on the other hand, he tied Magic Johnson with his 8th career finals triple-double, 29 points, 14, and 11. It wasn't enough, though. Cleveland and King James knows his guys have to be better.
I mean, make a couple changes to see if we can, you know, be a lot better defensively and offensively. Thought for the most part, you know, with the game plan that we had, we tried to execute it as close as possible. We was much more physical today than we was, you know, in game one. And we forced them to 20 turnovers, and they still, you know, beat us pretty good. So, you know, we got to be much better, too.
That series shifts to Cleveland. The Warriors up 2-0. Game 3 Wednesday night. Major League Baseball over the weekend. The Houston Astros completed a 3-game sweep of the Texas Rangers with a 7-2 victory Sunday at Globe Life Park in Arlington. 2 homers for George Springer, including a leadoff bomb. Carlos Correa and Yuli Gurriel also went deep for the Astros. Brad Peacock, the starter for Houston, solid as well, gave up just 2 runs in 6 innings of work. Houston has won 10 in a row. They've taken 6 of the first 7 games against the Rangers in 2017. They lead the AL West by what feels like 100 games, somehow only 13.5. The Astros travel to Kansas City tonight. The Rangers 26-31 now on the year. They take the day off. They will host the New York Mets interleague play tomorrow. Also over the weekend in Major League Baseball, Angels first baseman Albert Pujols hit his 600th career home run. He becomes the 9th player ever to accomplish that feat. Round Rock Express, they took 3-4 from New Orleans over the weekend. They did fall yesterday 7-1 against the Zephyrs. Express at Colorado Springs tonight. And finally, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight. Nashville took Game 3 on Saturday 5-1. They will try to even that series with Pittsburgh at home tonight. And that's the news.
All right, BK, busy at the Ticket City update desk this morning, obviously. And I did stay up for the final out in the 9th inning last night at Long Beach. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that tonight, Buck, for a 10 o'clock start. Not. This one got going at 9, and it was
Saturday's ended at about 1 o'clock in the morning, didn't it?
Yeah, and that was one of the most exciting college baseball games I've seen in a long, long time. Back and forth, the Longhorns making incredible defensive plays. The relay with Ryan Reynolds from the outfield, the bare hand throw to get the guy at the plate. The Longhorns had game-saving defensive plays on 2 or 3 occasions, and then they got the big knock in the 12th to win it 5-3. Last night, as you just heard BK say, a 4-3 game and a 4-3 outcome. Longhorns on the short end of that 4-3 game as it went back and forth. And as he mentioned, the home plate umpire struggled last night. His strike zone was inconsistent, to say the least. I thought it was on both ways, but certainly seemed to favor the Long Beach State side. And there was the controversial play at the plate with Michael Cantu, where it looked like he was going to score the go-ahead run. The Longhorns had scored the tying run on that hit. And it looked like he did a perfect slide and got his hand on the base. But, you know, the replay did show he put his hand on top of the catcher's foot, who was kind of blocking the plate and standing on the plate. And, you know, it was a bang-bang play. Umpire, you know, Longhorn fans will say got it wrong. But the video evidence was really inconclusive. So you stuck with what he did. You couldn't go to video in college baseball
sure.
at this level in this round. But so kind of a heartbreaking loss, and the Longhorns couldn't get the equalizer in the 8th inning or the 9th inning, so the 4-3 final from the Dirtbags, who had to play earlier in the day. That was their second game of the day.
A lot of baseball being played over the weekend.
Yeah, well, all over, you know, the state of Texas. We'll get you a full rundown of what's going on around the college baseball. But as BK said in the update, if the Longhorns were to win last night or they win tonight, they could very well be hosting the Super Regional this weekend because, as we told you last week, the Longhorns were playing into the bracket where Stanford was the team you're going to play into. Stanford is out. They got beat. Mark Marquist, 41-year college coaching career is over. They got Cal State Fullerton knocked them out. So if the Longhorns were to win, most likely would host the Super Regional here this weekend, but they got to win a game tonight. And
Starts at 10.
Which is late for the West Coast. It starts at 8 on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Starts at 10 here. So Craig Way and Roger Wallace will have the call for you right here on the horn. It should be another tough and tight.
Put the radio by the bed and never, you won't sleep. Just put the radio by the bed.
Well, the Longhorns should have the pitching advantage. I mean, they didn't have to play 2 games yesterday. Long Beach State did. And the Longhorns, you know, Kyle Johnston pitched a great game last night. And The pitching staff should be fresher for the Longhorns, but obviously Long Beach State has the home field advantage, and as some would say, maybe the home field umpires, which it looked like they had last night at times. But either way, it's going to be tough and tight and good college baseball. David Pearson, his first year, has a chance to punch this ticket, get a victory, and then maybe host a Super Regional, which if you're not the closest follower of college baseball, that's the Sweet 16, essentially. The round of 16, if you play through, there'll be 8 Super Regional sites around college baseball, and the winners of a best 2 out of 3 series between those 16 teams, those 8 matchups will head to Omaha and play in the College World Series.
Well, this is a good opportunity for Texas tonight because there are a lot of folks who didn't think they'd get this far. You thought they'd be okay. You thought they were going into a region that was suited for them, really.
Yeah. I mean, I think, as we said all last week, I mean, the RPI matchup, Long Beach State was 14, Texas is 16. And as we're seeing,
one-run game show that.
As we're seeing, they're very even. I mean, they're very even baseball teams. And, the game Saturday night could have gone either way. You know, Texas making, just huge defensive plays. I mean, just to save the game. Patrick Mathis with a diving catch in the outfield. If he doesn't make it, game's over. Dirtbags win. The relay play. I mean, just play after play with the Longhorns, saved themselves, then gave themselves a chance to win it. These are two really, really evenly matched teams. And the Longhorns played themselves into this spot with great starting pitching. Nolan Kingham was terrific again. Morgan Cooper was terrific in the game that Texas won on Saturday night. Kyle Johnston was really good last night. But just a 4-3 ball game. The leadoff hitter for the Dirtbags had 2 big hits last night. To knock in the game tying and then the go-ahead run to end up winning 4-3. So I expect the same tonight. The Longhorns have a good chance with a fresher pitching staff to make this thing happen and keep on playing. Obviously, the Dirtbags homestanding feel the same way. So be a good series tonight, good games. And that was preceded by the NBA Finals, which you heard BK and heard from Kevin Durant. And I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are a really, really good basketball team. And you saw last night, Buck, they made the adjustments. They went small. They forced, Steve Kerr, who was back on the bench last night, to react. And, they really came out as the aggressor. As you heard LeBron say in the update, they were more physical. They played a good basketball game last night.
What does it mean, though?
What does
it all mean?
They're not as good as that other side.
Tell me what it means.
Yeah, tell us. Tell us what it means.
Well, we're watching one of the greatest teams ever assembled play at its highest level. I mean, I don't know what else you do. I mean,
they play poorly with 20 turnovers last night.
I know.
What if they have a really just clean game?
Yeah. I mean,
what are they going to score, 150?
Right. I mean, I don't – 132 last night with 20 turnovers. Steph Curry shooting the ball from the hash mark. I mean, this guy is – the range to suggest it's unlimited is almost a joke. I mean, you don't cover people that far from the basket.
There's no reason to.
Yet he shoots it and makes it. I mean, how do you even defend that? You're talking about spreading the floor. And, it's when he and Kevin Durant are two of the most efficient offensive players the game's ever seen. They're on the floor together. Klay Thompson decided to join the finals last night, and he played a great game. I mean, you have no chance. And as we've talked about over and over, their ability to take a close game and make it a wide margin, they did it again last night in the third quarter, where those three players, Durant, Curry, and Klay Thompson went on an individual 15-1 run, and the game was over.
Yeah, there was a 3-point lead when they came out at halftime. All of a sudden, I thought Cleveland, hey, they're there. And then they turn around 2 minutes later.
It's 18.
They're down 8. Then they're down 12.
Then they're down 18. Because those three guys scored all the points in a 15-1 run that just took the game from a ball game. You're like, okay, we're going to get this finals that we've been looking for with one of these games. I think we'll get one in Cleveland because in Cleveland –
You better get one. You better get one that they win because if they lose,
as a fan and an observer, we'll get a great game. But they're just too good. I mean, the only way to stop them is if they just have a bad night shooting.
Cleveland will not run away with any games. There won't be any of these kind of games. No. They'll all come down to the wire.
No. I mean, that team is just so
– And LeBron is tired. He's tired.
He gets tired in the fourth quarter.
Well, he can get all the rest he wants, but when you have to do all the things that he's got to do during the course of a game, I mean, His first half stats were ridiculous. So was Kevin Durant's first half stats.
Yo.
Kevin Durant in the first – he had a whole entire ball game in the first half.
Well, I know
for some.
I know
15
people,
points.
People will call him Cupcake, and he went to an already stacked team, and that will tarnish his legacy or whatever. But you know what? He's making a case for being the best player on the planet. I mean, he's going toe-to-toe with LeBron James. I still think LeBron's the best player. But what he's doing in this series, he blocked five shots last night.
I was going to say, I saw him block LeBron's shot. I saw him take him to the hoop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's showing an all-around game that is just unmatched at a lot of levels. And obviously, he's got a great team, and he's part of a great team, and he went to a great team.
Well, he's not that little skinny kid that came to the University of Texas anymore. His body is – it looks thin, but he's strong. He's physically strong. His body, his lower body, whatever he does in the offseason – you can tell he's really worked, not on his skills game part of it, but his physical part of it.
Well, you're right.
Because he'll go block your shot now. He's not afraid to go in there. He blocked a shot from behind when the dude tried to dunk last night and said, okay, uh-uh.
Yeah, no, he's become
a lot of guys
player.
Leave that alone, you know?
You knew he was a great scorer when you saw him for the 1 year here at Texas. But, you know, remember when he went to the NBA scouting combine and benched 185 and everybody made a
laugh,
big deal?
Yeah.
He couldn't. I mean, he's too weak to play in the NBA. Obviously, he's gotten a lot stronger. And when Cleveland went strong, and I give Tyronn Lue a lot of credit, I thought the adjustments he made going small, making the Warriors adjust, was the right way to go. But, you know, they're at that point, when they went small, Kevin Durant was the tallest player on the floor. I mean, he was like the center at a lot of levels. And he and LeBron were playing post. I mean, it was that's where they just don't have an answer for Kevin Durant. I mean, as you watch this series, you feel like, okay, it's even here. We can do that. They just do not have any answer for Kevin Durant.
Well, they have to hit on all the cylinders, too, for the Cavs. That means everybody has to score. Last night it was Kevin Love who had a great first half again. He had a lot of points. LeBron had a lot of points. Kyrie didn't play that well. Shumpert and Smith give you nothing. You can say they give you something. They don't give you anything.
Tristan Thompson's giving you very little
and he gives you nothing. So everybody has to play well in order to beat the Warriors. You can't have two guys play well and the rest of the guys not play well because then you lose by, what, 25?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cleveland's really good. I mean, I thought they played well last night, but they lost by 20 points.
Well, anybody else that they play, they win by 20.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's how – I mean, we're watching a 14-0 playoff team who, with two more wins,
they're not
going to
sweep this thing.
They could. They could. They very well could. They haven't lost yet. I mean, Cleveland is showing that they're, you know, that they're a worthy adversary. They're just not good enough. They're not good enough. Now, people will – you can make the argument and say, okay.
Well, we'll go back to last year.
You know, he who doubts LeBron James, he who doubts Cleveland. And, again, that's fair. I mean, it was 3-1 last year. It looked like it was all but over.
Yeah, but Kevin Durant wasn't there last year.
Yeah, they didn't have Kevin Durant on that team.
No, they had that cupcake wasn't playing.
No, they didn't. They had Steph, who got worn down by Kyrie Irving. Well, now they're those two together.
Yeah, how fresh does he look out there, Steph Curry?
He looks like he's trying to make amends
for last year. Trotting on LeBron last night.
I mean, it is a well-built team, obviously, there in Golden State, and can be good for a long, long time, to say the least. And that's kind of the fear of the NBA is that this team is going to run off and, you know, play for the next six championships. They've already played in their third straight finals and trying to win their second. So we'll take your thoughts. 447-3776, Beck's text line, 512-337-3776. Your top story is obviously the Longhorns falling last night 4-3 at Long Beach State. They'll play again tonight at 10 o'clock. We'll hear from Craig Way coming up with the Craig Way Report with more detail on last night's game and looking forward to tonight. Also, we'll go around the Big 12 and college baseball, who's still standing and who's not. Also, speaking of well-built teams, how about the Houston Astros, Buck? We'll go into Arlington and really just beat the daylights out of the Rangers, really what they've been doing to everyone outside of the Cleveland Indians. In Major League Baseball, win again yesterday 7-2 to finish off a three-game sweep. They're now 6-1 against the Rangers this year.
They've had their stats a lot this weekend.
Oh, I mean, it's one of my great friends who's a Ranger fan just texted Uncle. But it's a role reversal. That's what Astro fans were saying to the Rangers last two years. Just, you know, leave us alone. This Astros team is really fun to watch. And really, you know, yesterday was George Springer. Dallas Keuchel got his ninth win over the weekend. And when Brad Peacock is dealing like he is, you got something going in Houston as they finish off that sweep. And the amazing stat, they've won 10 in a row, the Astros. And only one time in the 10 games has Ken Giles, their closer, have a save situation. I mean, that was the Saturday night game against the Rangers. That was it. I mean, so in 10 wins, these aren't even close games. I mean, there's no save to be had.
This regular season is going to be good. You don't have to even pitch during the regular season. Get paid.
Buck, they're 13.5 games up on the Angels on June the 5th. 13.5. I mean, this thing is, they're 41-16. And it's, you know, that division, there's not another team over 500 in the AL West. This is, you know, we talked to Gene Watson.
And they got players that can get better.
Yeah, well, we talked to Gene Watson, the director of pro scouting for the Kansas City Royals, and he's been a part of a world champion in Atlanta with the Florida Marlins when they were still Florida, and now obviously with Kansas City. And he said this team's special. I mean, they have one of those, like the Cubs last year. You know, remember the Seattle Mariners that won 116 games in the regular season, but that team didn't win the World Series, and that's what they're remembered for. So if you're an Astro fan now, what you're thinking is about how
I still think the Astros are a year ahead of schedule for them.
Well,
they're like the Yankees. The Yankees are, to me, 2 years ahead of schedule.
I think the Astros were a year ahead of schedule 2 years ago when they got to the playoffs.
And you think they're here now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this team is really – I mean, they've got five guys in their lineup that can carry that team for long stretches.
Plus, when their pitching is good. When Dallas Keuchel becomes himself, that's huge.
Well, I do think they're going to make a trade. I do think they'll make quite a blockbuster deal at some point here
on the
between
back
now
end
and
pitching?
The end of July. Well, no, I think they're going to bring in another starter and maybe another guy in the bullpen, maybe a left-handed reliever or something I think that they would be looking for. I think they like Ken Giles a lot, but just some insurance from the left side there and then one more starter. You know, a guy that can, you know, pencil in behind Keuchel, McCullers, give you that third guy.
Big name guy? Probably big name.
Yes. Now, there's a guy, Garrett Cole in Pittsburgh, who you've heard his name. He's a 26-year-old guy who would fit right in. Irvin Santana in Minnesota's having a great season, but the Twins are still in the mix. Heck, I heard a guy on the MLB Network over the weekend talking about Justin Verlander from the Tigers, that maybe the Tigers are looking to unload and rebuild. They've got a high payroll and they're not championship caliber. But yeah, names like that you'll see percolate to the top.
It's true. The Tigers have scuffled around for the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, and they're 28-28, and you know, Verlander makes a lot of money. But we'll see. Astros don't typically bring on a contract like that. But this is a special year, and much like the Cubs did last year when they went and got Aroldis Chapman, you when you feel like that your chemistry's there, you've got all the pieces, you go for it. You make that move. Heck, the Astro fans will remember in 98 when they did it, when they went and got Randy Johnson. And they didn't finish. Well,
very
the
similar to the Rangers. This is a go for it year for the.
Go for it.
This
is
it. The way they're playing. Yeah,
I mean their run differential is ridiculous. I mean they're playing 719 baseball. They're winning 71% of their games, and just finished off. And one of the questions coming into the season was, can they beat the Rangers? Because the Astros could have won the division a year ago if they could beat the Rangers, but the Rangers have owned them the last couple of seasons. This year, as we said, 6-1 already, and a 13.5 game cushion, a 10 game win streak. They're 20-6 on the road. They're 20-10 at home. Their splits are ridiculous. Really well built. So a lot of top stories today. We'll take your thoughts on all of it from the weekend. We're here at Cimarron Hills.
Come out to see us today. If you're out there in this area, we don't get out here that often.
We're pretty north.
Pretty north. But
it's a haul from Buda, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but this is where we've strengthened the signal, and it's really – this is.
I listened all the way out.
Yeah, come on out and see us. Come on out and spend some time with us this morning before everybody goes and plays golf. We don't venture out here to this Georgetown area that often, but we'd love to – see some folks out here at Cimarron Hill. Come by Cimarron Hill. It's a beautiful place, beautiful golf course.
Absolutely, and it's a great cause, which we'll teach you about and help you learn about. This is one of the reasons we don't come to a lot of charity golf course tournaments because there are so many.
Yes.
And there's so many worthy causes. We understand that. But this is one that Rosie Babin has started on her own, that her son was critically wounded in Iraq in 2003. She learned firsthand how difficult it is, the services you need, So it's Help Our Wounded, folks who have come back, who live here in Central Texas, who, you know, they want to pay the rent. They're waiting on a check that they've earned or some benefits from the VA or some medical, but you still got to pay the bills on a monthly basis and things of that nature. And she's taken up the cause firsthand, and it's really a dollar-for-dollar charity. Every dollar they take in, that goes back out to help the wounded warriors in our community right here in Central Texas. It's a local charity that we're thrilled to be here and be a part of. So we'll talk with Rosie at some point this morning as they get this thing going. And certainly, yes, if you can stop on by, we'd love to see you.
Yep.
I don't have anything to give anybody, though.
Hmm?
I don't have anything to give anyone.
I got nothing either. I got
Just
nothing.
Just come say hi.
Oh, no, I always have something in the car. Yeah, you come by, I may have something for you.
Well,
what am I
we'll
talking about? I always have something.
We'll dig something out of the trunk for you.
Yeah.
During the break.
Kidding me?
But if not, if you're heading to work, which a lot of you are, saddle it up. We've got a long way to go on 104.9 on AM 1260. We stream it on the new Horn app and at hornfm.com. Craig Way report next, live from Long Beach. Coming back. B&E on the Horn.
B&E.
B&E on the Horn. We are live on a Monday at the Help Our Wounded Golf Tournament, golf event, completely sold out event this morning. We're excited to be here to help create awareness and let you know about Help Our Wounded. It's such a great charity and worthy of your cause if you're looking for one. And we're live here in Georgetown. He said, come on by our buddy Colonel Craig Flowers. He texted and said, I'm live at Georgetown High School this morning for an air it out football camp.
Camp time.
Oh, summer's goodness. Here. For the littles.
Forgot about that, man.
Absolutely.
It's camp time. It's 7-on-7 all summer long.
Here we go. So the good, the bad, and the ugly on a busy Monday. Obviously talking about Texas and the loss last night, 4-3. You had to stay up till nearly midnight to get it, and that'll be the case again tonight. It's now a winner-take-all event at that NCAA regional at Long Beach State. We'll have more with Craig Way coming up on that. They'll play tonight at 10 o'clock local time start. I've gotten a lot of those emails and texts of, see, this is why we don't want to be in the Pac-12 or the Pac-16 or whatever it is, because there's been some late nights, there's no doubt, with the Longhorns on the West Coast. Also,
the other night, Saturday, was 1:30, almost 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, because they played into the 12th inning. But it was a thrilling finish. It was terrific. Also, talking to the Astros over the Rangers, 3 straight. NBA Finals last night, Cavaliers in an 0-2 hole. Now the Warriors are still undefeated in the postseason. Ridiculous. And we've had several folks texting about Tom Herman and his recruiting effort. And yes, yesterday and over the weekend, the Longhorns got another commitment from a guy who was ranked as the number 5 middle linebacker in the nation. He's from just outside St. Louis, Missouri. He's a kid who was pretty much recruited by everybody. His name is difficult to pronounce. It's Odell Adoye, I believe is how you would say it. He was in town for a weekend visit. And I tweeted this out because the way he, you know, kids do the hat game or they want to come up with new ways to announce their decision. This guy went to extraordinary lengths. He did about a minute video that at the end he's sitting around a campfire and he's burning all these letters that he's gotten. He can't decide. And as he walks away, the graphics, I don't know who did it. It was unbelievable. But like in the fire, you start seeing like the Bevo head spark up. And then at the end, it's the big shining Texas.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the next thing you see him in a Texas shirt and a hook. I'm sure it looks like the Longhorns may have helped with it. I don't know. They're digital graphics people. I mean, it was like a professional video. But nonetheless, that'll look good.
He's coming.
He's coming to Texas. He's class of 2018. We keep talking about this class. You know, last week they've got the two quarterbacks in the class, and now here comes a middle linebacker. And, you know, we've heard from Tom Herman and Todd Orlando. They're looking for guys who can play thumper in the middle.
Well, they need something because in a couple of years they're going to be real low on linebackers.
Real thin. Real thin. This was a good get, but it just keeps, you know, I know these aren't players. All these players we're talking about for the class of 2018 are players that still have a senior year of high school to play.
Right.
We get that. And they're not going to have any impact on the Texas football program for a while, certainly not this year. But it's amazing when Tom Herman gets these guys on campus and the vision he paints, the sell job he does, the convincing he does, and this is across the country. You've got a quarterback from the state of California. You've got a wide receiver in this class already from the state of Florida. And now here's a middle linebacker who is being recruited by everybody through the Midwest.
Missouri.
From St. Louis, who is coming to Texas to play for Tom Herman. So, yes, and there's talk. And, BK, you may be able to give me a little more on this. There's a big-time safety prospect, B.J. Foster out of Angleton, who is a 5-star, regarded by most services, the number one safety in the country.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He's announcing today. And most people believe he is a Texas, heavy Texas lean, that he's going to be the next on the heels of this one. And then last week with the running back, Keontae Ingram out of Carthage, the number one running back in the state, Tom Herman is showing that he can recruit with anybody right now in college football. So, yes, another verbal commitment over the weekend for Tom Herman.
Yeah, and it looks like the SECE is going to, that their transfer rule is going to.
Yeah, they passed it. So Malik Zaire is on his way to Florida.
Yeah, that's
a done deal. Done deal. He's headed to Florida and won't be coming to Texas. And so Tom Herman's going to enter the season, unless something changes between now and August, with a sophomore and a freshman quarterback. Is his only, you know, Josh Covey is there, not a scholarship player, but those are your 3 quarterbacks. Now, you know, does that put Jerrod Hurd back in the mix at some level?
Well, he's going to have to play some. Well, he's going to have to have a package that if something happens just to one of them, he's going to have to go get ready to play in a game.
Yeah.
You're
going to have a break, you know.
Sure.
If in case of emergency, break glass Jerrod Hurd package, aren't you? You just have to.
Well, yeah. Tom Herman doesn't want to do that. He wants the kid to learn a position where he is right now.
I mean, even if Shane Buechel were to go down for a couple of games, you still have to have a backup quarterback. Obviously, at that point, you'd have to put Sam Ellinger on the field as a true freshman.
Yes, you have to have a backup quarterback.
But you'd have to have somebody ready
to go. Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be the spot that they're in, and that's why I know everybody – we've got a lot of comments from people, what do we need Malik Zaire for? Well, you would have loved to have had the depth of and bringing a player of that caliber to compete and bring some veteran leadership.
You have two
to the
scholarship
room.
Football players, still only two quarterbacks in your entire roster.
It's amazing. And you know, Tom Herman, the one thing he's done is, you know, we talk about attention to detail, addressing issues. First thing he did when he got here was, you know, go get a kicker. We got to have a kicker. So he went out and found the best kicker he could find in the junior college ranks and got him locked up, and he's here. And for this recruiting class, what do we have to fix? He's got two quarterbacks in this class, highly rated. He said, we have to get quarterbacks on this campus. He doesn't understand. No one understands how this has gotten to this point, that you're this thin at that position.
Well, I guarantee he doesn't understand that. How the hell did you end up at Texas? I'm looking at two kids right now.
Yeah.
Two.
One's 18, one's 19. That's all we got.
And one didn't even play in his senior year, hardly.
Well, that's the spot. But so yes, the recruiting class for 2018 is rounding into it looks like a top five class.
It was number five before, so this probably pushes it up.
Well, Tom Herman said on National Signing Day when his class was, you know, the class that they put together this year, where they stuck with a lot of the relationships they had built while at Houston and wanted to take guys they knew and knew the kids that they were recruiting instead of just chasing stars, as he put it. He said this will be 2018 is when you'll see Texas back into the top end of the recruiting classes, and he's backing that up, and he and his staff are doing a terrific job. There's no doubt about that. All right, so you're good, you're bad, and you're ugly from a busy weekend. We had a no-hitter in baseball. We've got NBA Finals all over the place. We've got plenty of good, plenty of bad, and plenty of ugly. But right now, let's go west. Craig Way with the Craig Way Report live from California.
Well, on a weekend of outstanding thrillers and shocking upsets and NCAA baseball regionals played across the country, the Texas Longhorns and Long Beach State Dirtbags have certainly done their part to hold up their exciting end of the bargain. Long Beach State will force a final game in the regional by beating the Longhorns late last night, 4-3. This coming after Texas won that thriller on Saturday night that lasted over 4 hours, 5-3 in 12 innings. But the Dirtbags scored a run in the eighth to make a winner out of reliever Zach Byune and a loser out of Longhorn reliever Blair Henley. Texas dropping to 39-23 with the loss, and head coach David Pierce examining the defeat afterwards.
You know, they pitch well. We pitch well. Play here, play there, a nap bat here, there. It was a well-fought game by both teams when a lot's on the line. And so we still have an opportunity tomorrow, so we'll come back and try to win it tomorrow.
So it's one final matchup between Texas and Long Beach State, and you'll hear it on the Horn 104.9 beginning at 9:45 of the pregame, a 10 o'clock first pitch from Blair Field in Long Beach, California. More on that Texas-Long Beach State rubber match coming away in this afternoon's report. I'm Craig Way.
Brought to you by Bud Light.
Absolutely is brought to you by Bud Light. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. We're live at Cimarron Hills in Georgetown for the Help Our Wounded Golf Tournament. Our second year out here, it is a humid sucker. I mean, all my papers are
getting
like
getting
a little wet here. It is humid this morning, but it looks like it's going to be a nice one. 88 and sunny skies in Austin, Texas today, and in Georgetown, Texas, where we're coming to you live. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what David Pierce does with the pitching tonight. And, you know, obviously Nolan Kingham and Morgan Cooper have gone. Kyle Johnson, I thought, was really good last night. Who do they turn to in their fourth game here? It's the end of the season if you don't win it.
Well, yeah, so, this is all out right here.
So it's
here.
Kind of a Johnny Allstaff game, yeah. Right? I mean, you everyone is available except for probably Johnston, who pitched so well last night, who got the start. You know, you should have the fresher side because Long Beach State had to play two games yesterday. They had to beat San Diego State early, which they did to play into the night, and then they beat Texas 4-3. So they're playing with momentum. I'm sure Long Beach State side of it, the Dirtbags are thinking, we had the opportunity to win that game on Saturday night, so many chances, and got gunned down at the plate and the diving catches. So it's an evenly matched team. Someone has already mentioned on the Specs text line, throw Nick Kennedy. That's a likely option. Remember, Nick Kennedy was their Tuesday starter all year, but a really good pitcher, pitches from the left side. He's fresh and ready to go. Connor Mays, another guy who's been a starter at times, could be available. But Nick Kennedy is your likely starter. I would gamble, I guess, and that's your spot. Plus, he started for you in the Big 12 tournament.
Remember? Yeah, and Coach had talked about he and the other guys. He said we have a fresh bunch of pitchers. This is one of our strengths, and right now we are as fresh as can be.
Well,
at the end of the season,
as a Tuesday starter, Nick Kennedy was really successful, but he also faced some really good teams. I mean, they played A&M on a Tuesday.
True.
They played Sam Houston State.
Texas State, three or four times.
Texas State, who's got a power, you know, can score with anybody. So, and as we said, he opened up the Big 12 tournament starting for Texas on that Wednesday. So he's got big game experience. He's a crafty lefty, as they call him. I think that's your likely scenario, and then everyone else is ready to go behind it. And if you win, as we've told you, if you're just tuning in, if Texas wins, they've got a good opportunity to host the Super Regional because Stanford got knocked out. Stanford, Cal State Fullerton took them out. They'll reseed it, but Texas has
no, you got to go win at any cost here.
Yeah, man.
To get
this is it. But I imagine if you watched the game last night or listened to the game, it'll be tough and tight. And, you know, as David Pierce said, he said it pretty calmly, but a play here, a play there, a call here, a call there. I mean, the home plate umpire last night, I know everyone will talk about the Michael Cantu play at the plate, but his strike zone, I mean, it was all over the place. I mean, I've gotten so used to watching so much Major League Baseball where they've got the digital strike zone so you can see whether he was right or wrong. Boy, I would like to have had that last night because he looked a mess. I mean, there was an at-bat late with Casey Clemens, that, I mean, the ball looked like it was a half a foot outside. I mean, the strike one, strike two just totally changes the count. Then he rolls into a double play. You could see Casey was really frustrated because he's got a pretty good batting eye, and he felt so the pitcher gets a little bit off the edge, so he goes out a little further on the next pitch.
Why not?
And why not? And he gives him that too. And so Casey's like, seriously? I mean, how big is this plate? This is crazy. And, you know, that was frustrating. But, again, the umpire didn't win or lose the game. Longhorns have to get a big hit here and there. They got to make more, you know, more
opportunities. It'll be another tight one.
This will be the same case tonight. But, yeah, he was not the Longhorn favorite behind the plate last night. That's safe to say. All right, it's a lot of Longhorn news, obviously, with Tom Herman and recruiting. We've got plenty of baseball in the NBA Finals. Kevin Durant and company, two games up, and Kevin Durant having an historically good playoff run here in NBA Finals. We'll talk about it with you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, from a busy weekend live here in Georgetown on B&E 104.9. It's on AM 1260. We stream it on the new Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Monday on the Horn. Glad you're with us. Hope you had a great weekend and getting your work week up and running. First full week of the month of June and a lot to talk about. The good, plenty of it over the weekend. We had a no-hitter in baseball. Former Ranger farmhand Edinson Volquez. Remember him?
I do.
He was with the Rangers for a little while. He's been a pretty good pitcher, but throws a no-hitter. Also, Albert Pujols, Jack's home run number 600. Number 600 over the
classic
weekend.
Classic style again.
By the way, he's got the highest lifetime batting average of players in the 600 club outside of Babe Ruth. You can make a strong argument for him as the greatest right-handed hitter of all time. I don't know that – I mean, he's in that conversation. That's how good his career and his numbers have been and consistent. 600 home runs for Albert Pujols, almost without a lot of fanfare. He put number 600 on the board over the weekend. Houston Astros made it 10 in a row, three straight in Arlington against their former nemesis, the Rangers, who they're now 6-1 against this year. And owning that also from the world of basketball. How about Kevin Durant last night? 33 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 blocks, 3 steals. What an all-around performance. I mean, it's you know, these two teams were evenly matched last year when Cleveland came from 3-1 down, and people are still talking about, well, they can come back. They didn't have Kevin Durant last year.
It's different.
I mean, it's a totally different animal. And as we've told you, this group, the big four, right? I mean, they have – you know, two guys who are surefire Hall of Famers, and then Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, if they keep playing with this group, are going to be in that conversation 10 years from now. You could have four Hall of Famers on this roster. When those four have been healthy, Buck, and on the floor, they haven't lost a game since February the 4th.
Totally
ridiculous.
It's June
the 5th. February 4th, the last time that group lost a basketball game, and it was in Sacramento, of all places, for crying out loud. This group, I think this may be a sweep.
I don't want to, but
they don't have an answer for Kevin Durant. It's not like Kevin Durant's not going to show up. Who's going to cover him? LeBron is worn out by the fourth quarter of these
games. Plus their coach is back on the bench now.
Yeah, Steve Kerr shows back up. He was pretty excited to see 20 turnovers last night. They committed 20 turnovers and still scored 132 points.
That's the part I can't believe. How do you turn the ball over 20 times and still score that much and beat a team by that much? A really, really good team. The defending champs.
Cleveland's good.
They're the defending champs.
LeBron's a great player. I mean, it's
his role players are just – he just doesn't have enough role players because he's worn out by the fourth quarter. Kevin Love, who had an outstanding game. I mean, consistent games from guys like Kyrie. You have to have, if you're playing against the Warriors, you have to have consistent games.
Well, they just put so
every
much of,
stinking night.
Well, in every stinking possession. You can't go to sleep for 5 minutes or you'll be down 15.
That's the one.
That's
right
what
there.
They do.
It's,
I mean,
the barrage that gets you.
Yeah. And when Steph Curry's pulling up from 38 feet, I mean, just knocking it down, you're like, what? Come on, man. Ridiculous. But, yes, so 2-0 for the Warriors, and they were spectacular again last night. Also on the good side of things, the ledger, Tom Herman pulling in another pretty monster recruit, the number 5 rated out middle linebacker out of the state of Missouri, St. Louis. And I was looking up some of the pronunciations on his name. I think it's he's got a nickname of Dele. Last name is Adeye. So we're going to get to know him. He is a linebacker who, BK, did you see the video that he put out with the campfire and the decision?
I did, man. It's not often that I feel old, but it seems like just picking a hat on a table is a thing of the past. I remember people, you know, older generation getting so mad thinking that was over the top. Now it seems like that's basic when somebody just picks off a hat off a table. This was ridiculous, but pretty
cool. That
was
pretty well done, though.
Oh, yeah, pretty cool, like you said, no doubt about it.
Who's his graphics department there in Missouri? I mean, it's
good grief.
It's unreal. I mean, it's like he went to, like, Steven Spielberg or something to put this thing together. I mean, it's great. But he's coming to Texas, and B.J. Foster is the next name to watch for. He's a 5-star, number one.
He's the number one. He would be the number one in the class.
From Angleton, yes. He's widely regarded as the number one safety prospect in the nation. And he will decide tomorrow, I believe, is his day. And most expect him to pick the Longhorns, and which will just be another.
You're talking about a group that will be loaded in the secondary.
Oh, yeah. They're already, safety's already probably their deepest position on the team right now, wide receiver and safety. But, yeah, and you know, in a passing league like the Big 12, you got to have guys that can be versatile, athletic, and cover, and that's what Tom Herman's after right now.
And once again, these are kids that will not be here next year. They won't be playing next year. It'll be the year after, and for next year's season, this football team goes into the year with 2 quarterbacks so far, unless Tom Herman pulls one out of his hat, who knows. But right now, that's a scary proposition right there when you think about it. That's why Tom Herman, you know, when he talks about the quarterback position, when people talk about Malik Zaire, why are you chasing this guy down? Well, there's a reason you're chasing him down, because you have a quarterback that we saw late in the year last year when he got banged up a little bit, not be as accurate as can be. And then you've got another one who's coming out of high school who didn't hardly play in his senior year. That's what you go into the season with.
Well, and has had battled injuries. I mean, that's
really
a problem, too.
That's
inexperience and injuries, and he's 18 years old. I think Sam Ellinger is going to be a really good player. But, you know.
But you never know with that injury deal. Some people just fall into that category.
All right, so we'll take your thoughts. Those are part of the good. Also, how about Ryan Reynolds' play for the Longhorns on Saturday night? It's one of those Sports Center plays. The cutoff, you know, the Longhorns, to save the game, he bare hands a cutoff play from left field. And unfortunately, the airmail throw of David Hamilton, who was supposed to be the primary cutoff man, but your secondary cutoff man was Ryan Reynolds, the third baseman. He was right in the right place. And it was like one of those, you know, Derek Jeter plays that we saw when Jeter was so great. I mean, you have a millisecond to make that decision.
Right.
And if he catches with his glove, I mean, that transition is going to be the time it takes for the guy to beat it. He understood and could see where the runner was. He had just watched him, you know, round third. So he bare hands it, fires it, perfect strike to Cantu, and that's your game saver, and the Longhorns go on to win it. If the Longhorns, you know, win or lose, that it will always be a memorable play for Longhorn fans. Patrick Mathis' diving catch late in that game as well to save a Long Beach State win.
It's been a fabulous year for them.
It certainly has, pitching and defense, and they'll get a chance tonight. The bad side of that is the game tonight doesn't start until 10 o'clock on the West Coast. We'll have it for you right here on the Horn. So you're good, bad, and ugly. We had someone text and say, did you see the Rex Ryan and his brother getting in a bar fight? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, there's video of the Ryan brothers mixing it up at a bar.
I mean, somebody came up to them?
No, I don't know what was going on. I mean, I got to get some details on this. But, yes, I've seen partial video. Yes, it's mostly, it looks like Rob. And then there's Rex, the Ryan brothers, throwing down a little.
Don't mess with those guys. They're crazy.
They are nuts, man. They are nuts. All right, we'll come back. We'll take your good, your bad, and your ugly from the weekend. Dive into our coach's corner, reset your headlines coming up as we had a busy day and night in the world of sports, including the Longhorns playing almost to midnight last night and come up on the short end of a 4-3 ball game. We'll have BK with the headlines coming, coach's corner, and plenty to do. The good, the bad, and the ugly on a Monday morning on 104.9 on AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.